You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hi, this is Jim.
And this is Max.
Check out our podcast, The Step Over, the Liberty Ballers Podcast Network, for all of your Sixers needs.
Player analysis, game breakdowns, who would look coolest in a headband, and more.
Subscribe to Liberty Ballers Podcast feed on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts, and check out The Step Over, a podcast about Sixers basketball.
Mostly.
Welcome into At the Podium, episode 14, brought to you by the fine folks at SB Nation and Bleeding Green Nation. I am your host, Michael Kist, and today we have our usual triple-decker of press conferences. First up is Doug Peterson after the game, followed by Carson Wentz, and then Doug Peterson after having the chance to sleep on it, so his press conference for Monday is included as well. There's a lot of questions about this 29-23 overtime loss to the Cowboys that pretty much wraps up the division for the Cowboys, including the decision to not go for the two-point conversion after getting the game to a 22-23 score late in the fourth quarter. Peterson also addresses the logic behind the third-and-one read option that failed to convert, which I actually agree is sound logic, but there's also plenty to criticize with some other things, including the officials, after their baffling call on the opening kickoff that awarded the Cowboys with a ball that should have gone to the Eagles. Also, I have a piece up on bleedinggreennation.com that details how the Cowboys were able to limit Zach Ertz by utilizing Byron Jones against him in key situations, and also the Eagles' failure to adjust to that until it was time to play catch-up, which has been the story of the season, in my opinion. But enough shameless promotion for me. Let's get to these press conferences and hear it from the men themselves.
Decision-making was to kick the extra point, tie it up, and then talk about the penalty afterwards to be able to go for it. I just elected at that point just to go for the kick and tie it up. We had a little discussion, but at the time we felt where we were as a team at the time, we felt good about it and kept the points on the board.
What was the explanation given on the fumble in the first play of the game?
Just basically there was a clear fumble and then just didn't know exactly who necessarily recovered at the time. It was a big pile, I guess. And just unfortunate.
What were some of the issues for the slow start again?
Well, I think some of it, you give credit to Dallas. I mean, this is a good defense. We knew that going in. Some of it is, their design, very disruptive up front. And then comes down to, attention to detail, focus, and things that have kind of hampered us a little bit all season, showed up a little bit early in this game, and it was tough to get things going early.
You knew the stakes of this game. What did you tell the guys in there afterwards?
Exactly right. We knew the stakes of the game. I just told them, I said, listen, it's one of those games where, proud of the way they fought, proud of the way they hung in there, battled back. We were really never out of this football game at all. And just basically told them that, listen, the way we all felt in that dressing room, you got to hate this moment. You got to hate this feeling. You got to hate losing. And you got to learn from it. You got to move forward and pick ourselves up off the mat and get ready to go for another one.
Doug, on that, sorry, to go back to the two-point conversion, that's a situation that you typically have gone for in the past when there's been a penalty on the extra point. What was different about this game than in the past?
Yeah, just fourth quarter, late in the game where it was opportunity, to just keep the points on the board. Nothing other than that.
Would you agree that Carson looked a little hesitant through the first three quarters?
I think there's enough to go around offensively. I don't think we put it on the quarterback. I think we'll take a look at this film and make the corrections where we need to. This is a tough game, and he's done some great things. Did some great things tonight in the second half. So we'll evaluate the film, and everybody will look at it, and go from there.
Why do you think it took three quarters to finally get things going with him?
Well, again, I think you give credit to Dallas, their defense. I mean, this defense is playing extremely well, and that's where the credit lies.
Y'all in a pretty tough spot in terms of your postseason opportunities, perhaps. How do you keep those guys from reading the standings and saying it's just not going to happen this year?
Right now, we're not focused on that. We're focused on getting back to Philly, getting ready for the Rams next weekend, and taking one at a time.
How do you feel about the officiating tonight?
Listen, they got a tough job. They got a tough job, and I respect everything that they do. And again, we'll take a look at it, and if we need to send some stuff in, we'll send some stuff in. But appreciate those guys. I mean, it's hard work, and they bust their tail out there for you.
You guys are shorthanded in the secondary. You have so many injuries, but still, what Amari did to the defense tonight, especially in the fourth quarter and overtime, how frustrating is that? Even though you are shorthanded, and it looks like Sydney's hurt still.
I mean, it's frustrating, but we just got to continue to push, continue to fight, continue to work. These guys, it's great experience for Boz, but it's unfortunate with Sydney and his situation right now. But, it is what it is right now, and we just got to keep working and, get everybody ready to play, get everybody caught up and get ready for the next one. But, there's no quit in this group. And I think you'll see that next weekend.
The decision to put Sydney back out there and then to pull.
Yeah, well, we checked him on the sideline, and felt comfortable, felt comfortable with him going back in there, and we'll evaluate it again, tomorrow and see where he's at. But yeah,
because of the injury or because he wasn't performing?
Yeah, it was unfortunate because it started to flare up again, so we decided to risk any further injury, just pull him and put Boz in there.
You had a play there with Smallwood in the game, pretty important play where he got the ball. I don't know if it's a check down to him or whatever, but he hadn't touched the ball in a good while. It seemed like an odd spot for him to be there.
Well, when Corey went down, it was not so much an odd spot anymore. We needed him in a couple of spots, and we used him, yeah.
As you get on the plane tonight, what part of this game is going to bother you the most?
I think the biggest thing that's going to disappoint me is just the look in those players' eyes in there, and to see the disappointment that we felt, even with as close a game as this really was, and still not playing great offensively, for the defense to come up with some big turnovers, keep us in this football game, and not finish this football game, because we felt at the end, even going into overtime, that there was some momentum on our side and just needed that one stop. But for me, it's going to be, the look of disappointment, in the players and coaches' eyes. That's going to bother me on this ride home.
What did you see with Dallas Goedert? What all of a sudden kind of freed him up? Why did you guys start?
Well, he's a tremendous tight end. And again, we felt going into the game that we could utilize our two tight ends. And in the second half, we, mixed them in there really well. And it just created some matchups, with their base defense that we felt comfortable with, and he did a great job.
There was a third down throw that Carson threw pretty well short of the end zone to Zach Ertz. What do you think his decision making was there?
It was the one after the Smallwood play.
Score was 9-6 Dallas. You guys settled for a field goal. He slant to Ertz, but it was at the 5-yard line, third down.
Was it after the penalty?
It was after the Smallwood run. It was like third and goal from around the nine.
Third and goal at the nine. Ertz
had a push in the back that put you guys back. Then you had a catch, and then Smallwood run, and then on third down and nine, Carson
was it to the left flat?
It was well short of the goal line.
Yeah, it was a chance to catch and run at that point, and then I do remember the play. Yeah, a chance to get a little bit of a pick scheme over there with, I think, him and Alshon. I think that's the one you're talking about. Put in his hands, chance to score, or you're in a situation, because we had talked about possibly staying on the field on fourth down and going for it in that situation. Had two downs right there.
You've been asked about that two-point conversion there. If you had to do it over again, would you have done it? Do you stand by the decision there?
I mean, we can sit here and hindsight's, 20-20, 50-50, whatever the deal is, I'd kick it. I'd kick it. I mean, it's easy to sit here and go, yeah, let's go for two. Out there, a little different. And I stick by my decision. Yeah. All right.
It's a good defense, good team. They play hard, and we just couldn't stay on the field. You know, we couldn't stay on the field, and then, we just couldn't establish long drives and put things together and just didn't execute.
On the second and goal from, I think, the 11, it looked like, tell me if this is right, did you check to a run there where you handled the small of it, and if so, what did you see on that play?
It was already a run play.
And then on the third down, the next play after that, you threw to Ertz on a slant, it looked like. What was your decision-making behind that?
Yeah, they were just playing super soft coverage. You know, I was just trying to get it to him underneath so he could hopefully get in from in the middle there, because they just went shell coverage and got wide, so we just didn't hit it.
I was surprised where you, when the opening kickoff was reversed, went back to the Cowboys.
Yeah, honestly, I never even saw it, so I just know that that we all went on the field assuming it was that way. And I got no opinion on that, though.
Carson, how frustrating is it getting that? It seems like every week we sit here and ask you about the slow starts, and we're here in week 13 or 14 now.
Yeah, it's frustrating. I mean, it's absolutely frustrating with the talent that we feel we have on the offense side of the ball, and just couldn't execute, couldn't sustain drives, and came up short here and there. And without a doubt, it's frustrating.
The switch really flipped in down the stretch in the fourth quarter there. What was the key?
Hard to say. I think we just started playing our football. You know, just kind of went back to the basics a little bit and just gave our guys, they were playing a lot of one-on-one on the outside, and just gave, Nelson and AJ some opportunities there, and they were able to make some big plays.
You went to more 12 personnel down the stretch, and Dallas became a factor.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, Dallas is a great player. You know, he's a great player, tough matchup as far as being covered and everything. So, I think it was just kind of in response to how Dallas was playing us defensively to get Dallas and Ertz on the same on the field together. And we tried to take advantage of it a little bit.
You knew the stakes of this game. How do you explain kind of where the team is at this point?
Say that again.
You knew the stakes of this game, obviously. Yeah. How do you explain where the team is at this point, or I guess rationalize where the team is at this point?
Yeah, I mean, we're not going to, get anything, do anything crazy, as far as, where we're at. We will never quit. I know that we'll never quit, and, we're just going to keep competing our tails off and preparing our tails off and let the chips fall where they may.
There was a strip sack at the end of the first half. What happened on that play?
It was a strip sack. I was trying to get it out, and I didn't. It was behind me. I don't know. It's hard and stuff. But ideally, I could get that ball out earlier, hopefully.
Carson, there's a lot of frustrating moments in this game. How much of an impact do you think the refs had from that opening kickoff to even the Goddard TD coming back?
Yeah, I never want to sit and question the refs. I mean, they have a hard job to do, and quite frankly, I don't ever really see the calls. You can't really see them on the Jumbotron from where we're at, so I don't really I'm not going to stand up here and question what they did and how they affected the game at all.
Did you want to go for this? Describe it sort of like a stunned silence in the locker room after the game. From your perspective, what were you guys feeling after?
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough loss. It's a tough loss. I mean, again, we kind of knew the stakes of this game, and we were able to stay in it. We were able to stay in it, and we were struggling there for a while, and then we battled back, and we were extremely resilient, and we just came up short. And that's it's never fun. It's never fun, and then to lose on that play the way it happened, where Rasul made a great play, and it just bounced their way, and. Just kind of, you could say, stunned a little bit, but just frustrating for sure.
How are the feelings? Is this part of the journey maybe over for you guys this season?
Yeah, we don't look at that at all. I mean, everyone, like I said earlier, we're going to just keep competing, keep preparing, and not really look at any of that outside stuff, and just keep doing what we do, and try and get on a roll here, and like I said, let the chips fall where they may.
Did you want to go for it on two?
That's coach's call. That's coach's call, and with him 100%, and it's always you could always argue it's easy in hindsight to look at that, but we made the decision and went to overtime and just didn't get it done.
That said, after you guys didn't go for two, you didn't get to touch the ball again. So what's going through your mind as you watch the rest of the game unfold?
Helpless feeling. You know, it's a helpless feeling. You know, I got a lot of confidence in the defense. They were making plays today. And then, you know, we just didn't, you know, like I said, it's a helpless feeling not going back out on that field. But, you know, we just didn't do enough early offensively, and that cost us.
Carson, as much talent as you guys have, and you kind of mentioned it there with the slow starts, but are you surprised you guys are sitting where you're sitting with three games to go with what you guys did last year and having so many pieces back?
Yeah, I mean, we're absolutely surprised where we're at. You know, we never envision ourselves. We never kind of pencil ourselves in to be a losing record at this point in the season. We hold ourselves to high standards and high expectations. And, this is extremely frustrating where we're sitting right now.
In the huddle after the 75-yard touchdown's called back, what are you saying there? What are you doing in that moment?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, everyone was tired because everyone just ran all the way down there and had to come back. But, you know, I just said, hey, keep believing, and then let's go get this done. And we did. You know, we went down and scored there at the end. But, again, it was just too little too late.
It's sort of arbitrary for a coin toss to have such a big impact on the game, but why did you choose what you chose? Did you consider?
I didn't make the call. And, you know, that's just overtime. You know, that's just the way it happened today. And, again, it's tough.
Take two more questions. When you look back at this game and the previous 12, is the overriding theme that you guys have not been able to get a rhythm early game?
I mean, you could say that a little bit. You know, we obviously everyone's seen what we put out there, you know, and getting in rhythm and starting slow is unfortunately been a common theme for us, and that's something we got to look hard at. And again, we believe we have the guys to start fast and just stay on it. Again, it's tough, and you could say there's a bit of a theme there that's frustrating for sure.
As a follow up to that, as you fly back tonight, what's going to bother you the most?
The fact that we lost. I mean, first and foremost, the fact that we lost. You know, there's a handful of plays that, you know, I think everybody wants back. You know, I'm gonna watch the tape and be critical of myself and everything. But it's hard to say one specific thing other than that we just didn't get it done. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, you end up first half yesterday, 70 yards, 17 plays. How is that possible with the talent that you have?
Yeah, it's not good enough. First of all. I mean, it's obvious. We got to do better. We got to coach better. We got to play better. And there's got to be that sense of urgency by everybody, I think, going into any game, to start fast, to execute better, and quite frankly, that's the bottom line.
It's not a new problem, though. I mean, it's something that we've kind of talked about on a lot of Mondays. The slow starts. Has it been difficult that you guys haven't even been able to solve that problem through 14
weeks? It's been difficult because it's not showing up on the field. So again, it goes back to, you know, how am I teaching plays? How am I teaching the openers? And I put a lot of that on myself, you know, because I'm the one calling the play, and I got to start with that.
What was the thinking behind the option plays for Carson? There's a third one. And then
it really we anticipated in their short yardage front for 90 to spike and to come inside a lane. That's what we expected, a pirate stunt. And he actually we were going to combo between him and Zach up to the backer, and then we were going to basically just option right off of 38. And it was third and one, and Carson could have dove and got the first down. But 90 didn't spike. He actually stayed on lanes outside. So, you know, just a great play by the Cowboys.
It's a year ago today that Carson Wentz tore his ACL, LCL. Where have you seen him progress as a young quarterback coming back from that injury, and where do you feel like you still want to see him move forward?
Well, one, I think for me and really for him, I think, you know, the mental journey – coming back from an injury for any player. I think of Sproles, I think of Jason Peters, Jordan Hicks, guys that we missed last year that are back, and Carson's the same. So I think of the mental aspect of that and how well they worked in the offseason to get themselves back ready to play this year. And now just moving forward, you see where all of those guys are, you know, they're playing, they're back out there playing. I do believe that – sometimes these injuries could, you know, from the standpoint of in Carson's case, missing the first two games and then really kind of missed training camp. And, you know, so, but now he's feeling good, you know, he's feeling as healthy as he's ever been. Sproles is feeling the same way. I know JP has fought through a couple other injuries, but he's pretty much feeling the same way. But it's that mental journey, I think, to get back to this point where they feel comfortable and confident in what they're doing.
So as far as injuries,
are you mentally there?
Yeah, totally, 100%.
There are no after effects at all from the knee. He's playing, is it physically, do you see the mobility that you saw last year?
I think what you're seeing is he's had the ability to do that this year. He has escaped the pocket. I think if you're referring to yesterday's game, part of the sacks were just the collapse of the pocket and keeping him in the pocket. So there really were no running lanes yesterday to escape.
As far as injuries, Corey Clement, Josh Sweat, and Isaac Simon, where are they?
Corey Clement, we're still waiting on a couple of MRI results to come back today. So we'll find out more later today. I'll probably have an update for you on Wednesday for sure. Isaac is going to be day-to-day, quite frankly, with his pec. Who was the other one? Josh Sweat, same thing. Still waiting on pending MRI result to come back.
So, what have your thoughts been on Carson's accuracy yesterday and over the past few weeks?
I think it could. He's been good. I wouldn't say he's been great. I'd say he's been good. He's made. You look at the fourth quarter yesterday, and it was great. And accuracy comes in many forms. It's not necessarily the quarterback. I have to factor in route running. I have to factor in coverage. I got to factor in protection. There's all kinds of aspects that go into accuracy for a quarterback. And one of the things that I think Carson over his 3 years has gotten really good, he's gotten better at it. I think that's something that he's worked on. Press has worked on it, you know, with him, obviously the last couple of seasons. So it's improving and he's really done. He's really made – I mean, you look at that throw he threw to Dallas. Well, two throws he threw to Dallas. He threw a corner route, and they threw that seam route. And those balls were laser throws, you know, pinpoint accuracy, and that's where he's at, and that's what he's doing.
No, but the first three quarters –
last year, the decision to not go for two, to kick the extra point there at the end, that would seem the prudent thing to do. You know, you get the tie, you send your defense back out there. How do you square that with – the advantage that being aggressive in those situations really seemed to give you guys last year and just that moment of, hey, we can take the lead here and put the pressure back on that.
You know, I mean, if we make an extra point, we have the lead. I look at that too. You know, I got to look at everything. I can't just look at one situation. I got to look at the entire pie. So the two-point conversion, and I got a report on this, and I can't off the top of my head think of exactly – the numbers, but everything was in favor of going for one. And even that we had the discussion on the field during the penalty timeout, so to speak, to make that decision. And with Dallas having a minute and 39 seconds, I think, left with two timeouts, it changes. So had we – follow me here. Two situations. Go for two. Obviously, you make the two-point conversion, you're up one, right? Dallas has two timeouts and every down available to stay on the field and kick a game-winning field goal, right? Obviously, if we don't make it, chances are our game's probably over, right? We kick it, we tie. Now, Dallas still has two timeouts. Now they're not as likely to go for it on fourth down, right? There's a chance now, fourth and eight, that they say, you know what, we're going to punt the football, and we only have one timeout at the time with maybe no time left, and you're still playing for overtime. So for the decision now, the decision to go for one obviously favors us, and it gives us a better chance of winning that football game than it did for two.
You said last year it was 60-40 in favor of converting, and you called it a no-brainer last year.
Well, after the Carolina game?
Yeah, our numbers.
And that was in the third quarter.
No,
this is inside 2 minutes.
No, in terms of the conversion rate from the
rates are about the same. Percentage-wise, they're about the same.
Okay, but that gets back to my point, which is you wrote a book titled Fearless. I mean, going for it in the third quarter, it seems, is far less fearless than going for it and putting it out there with the game on. You see what I mean? Like you know.
I understand what you're saying, but again, you know, with two timeouts and all four downs, and we hadn't really stopped them. You know, I mean, we can spin this thing. I mean, 100 different ways, really. And I mean, I don't know. I still stand by my decision. And plus with the high kick, you know, we're going to pin them inside the 20. I think they got the ball at the 17-yard line. And we were still able to stop them and go into overtime. Now, you know, and so it does change just a little bit in those situations. End of game situations are different than third quarter situations. They're totally different. And so we played the percentages at the end of the game, right? And quite frankly, gave us the best chance of winning that game.
Very end of the fourth quarter, you guys got that sack with like 11, 10 seconds left. Did you think about calling timeout to force them to punt?
No. No. Because they weren't going to call theirs at that point.
But you could have called timeout to force them to punt.
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, they were going to probably kick it in the end zone anyway. And then you end up kneeling on it, and you're out of timeouts and 4 seconds left. Yeah, no.
Sidney Jones was mentioning after the game yesterday that, you know, obviously his hamstring wasn't 100% and anything like that. Just kind of what was it like for him out there, like trying to guard Amari Cooper, and what's his status like going into?
Yeah, Amari is obviously a tremendous receiver, and he's done some great things there for Dallas, and you know, okay. Yeah, I got to be careful because, Amari's a great receiver and he's hard to defend. And early in the game, I thought Sidney did a nice job defending a couple passes, a couple tackles in there. So, you'll have to continue to ask Sidney on the rest of it.
Doug, what happened to Jalen Mills' foot?
Jalen Mills. You know, we were very optimistic that Jalen was gonna get better, and it just wasn't there. Giving him every opportunity each week to continue to rehab and work it out. And it's just unfortunate that it wasn't where he wanted it to be, where we wanted it to be. And so we made the decision.
He wasn't wearing a boot, as far as we could tell, for weeks. And then all of a sudden he was. What changed?
Yeah, I just think through the rehab and different things and a couple of, you know, MRI and x-ray results that it was best to put him back in the boot and see if it could help promote some healing and just immobilize it for a while.
Sidney, are you able to get an accurate assessment and evaluation on him this year on Sidney because of the injury?
I think it's hard. I mean, you know, it's tough to get a true evaluation, but we know, you know, we knew the player we were getting based on what we saw in college, and he's a tremendous corner. I mean, he's a good cover corner, and I think that, you know, for any player that's dealing with injury, you know, you focus on that just a little bit, and it can pull you away from playing at a high level at times. And I think that's where, you know, I can appreciate guys that, and Sidney is one of them, that guys that each week, everybody's a little banged up, a little sore, going through stuff, and for them to battle through it, be out there, practice every day, and put themselves out there for the team, I think, is a credit to each player. And Sidney's one of those guys.
On the opening kickoff, you challenge. If correct me if I'm wrong, and I very well could be, but you guys challenged that he was down before he fumbled. They overturned that, and then they decided that there was no clear recovery. But since they overturned it, shouldn't you have not lost your timeout? How does that work? Because the challenge was actually successful because he challenged whether he was down before he fumbled.
The challenge was the fumble and clear recovery of the ball.
Play, right?
Yeah. So we ended up.
So they overturned. It was a fumble.
It was a true fumble, but there was no clear recovery. So that was the explanation I got. And so we ended up losing the challenge and the timeout.
After looking at that, and after hearing the way your players responded after the game, and then after hearing the fans and how upset really everyone is, because that call could have changed the whole complexion of the game. What are your thoughts today, Sam?
You weren't too hard for us last night.
I'm going to stand by my statement last night. listen, I'm not going to sit here and criticize. That's not my place. We have an opportunity. We have a protocol that we can use to turn in plays on a Monday. Listen, I know it doesn't help us. It doesn't change the output of the football game. It is what it is there. But, you know, there are plays that we want to get a ruling on and just see if what we thought was correct or inaccurate. And so we've done that on several plays. We're still waiting on some input back on that. It was just, it's unfortunate.
You talked about Carson's improved accuracy, and yet his average pass per length has dropped from 9.91, an average of 9.91 yard per attempt, to 7.68. How do you explain that?
I'd have to look at all the attempts and see if it's design, if it's scheme.
Is he taking too much underneath? Is he not trying to push the ball downfield enough?
Well, again, without looking at the coverage dictates where the ball goes. Blitz dictates where the ball goes. If it's down the field, he's going to throw it down the field. I mean, you got to play quarterback in this league. You can't. Every play can't be designed to get you 20-plus yards. I mean, that's foolish.
You're saying that defenses are taking away the deep ball?
Defenses are playing defense. You're confusing to me because if you play quarterback in this league, the mentality is you take what the defense gives you. That's the mentality. And if it happens to be a back or a tight end underneath, then you know what? First and second down, we stay ahead of the chains. We get a chance to stay on the field on third down. So if that affects the overall, probably going to affect the overall. But at the end of the day, I'd rather take a win over a 2-yard, you know, discrepancy or whatever you got there.
As a follow-up on Sidney Jones, you applaud the fact he's playing for the injury, but he's come off the field now twice since the return. Where do you stand on him going forward this season, and the cornerbacks overall, where do you stand in that position?
Yeah, it's something we're going to continue to evaluate Sidney each day, make sure again that he's right, not only physically but mentally. I mean, it's a big part of it too, you know, as I mentioned earlier. But from the standpoint of the corners, I mean, you know, there's not a lot of depth there right now, and we just got to continue to evaluate that and see. But the other one we're hoping for is Avante Maddox, you know, maybe this week, so we'll see where he's at too. And that would just as an added, you know, safety nickel type player, and we'll see where he's at, you know, this week as well.
Okay.
Thanks.
Hey everybody, it's Neil Patel, Editor-in-Chief of The Verge. I host a podcast every week called The Vergecast with my friends Paul Miller and Dieter Bohn. We've got a rotating cast of characters from our entire site, which is about technology, how it impacts culture, and how that is all a big cycle that causes us to have a wide variety of feelings that you can listen to every Friday. We've done over 300 episodes in the 6 years since The Verge has been around, but you only need to listen to one, the latest one, to get caught up on everything in tech news. Vergecast is on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, everywhere else you listen to podcasts. Check it out.